You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Hey, welcome back. This is the HR Happy Hour. I'm back. Steve Bowes is back. Remember me? Hi, Trish, how are you? Great to hear from you again.
I'm good. Nice to have you back on the show.
That's great. Thank you for taking the reins and taking over and doing two great shows while I was out and about. Thanks for that. They came out outstanding, I thought. So.
Yeah, it was fun. Fun to have guest host fun.
Yes, indeed, indeed. This is HR Happy Hour 218. We're recording this on a Wednesday. It is super hot where I am in upstate New York, Trish. I don't know about you. This is the 1 week of summer we get every year, and I think we're right in the middle of it. It's been very, very warm here. So how are things in your neck of the woods?
Oh, it's hot here, too. I'm in Arkansas, and it's been in the upper 90s most of the week. So.
Oh, good Lord. Arkansas.
But that's pretty normal for here.
Arkansas feels like that place, like, I don't know. I believe it's one of the very few states I've never been to. I don't think I've ever set foot in Arkansas.
Really?
I don't think so.
Oh, beautiful. Lots of lakes and rivers. Beautiful.
It's one of those states that I don't think, like, if you had a map of the U.S. just with the states outlined without the names, like, that would be in the – I think I could get most of them, but, like, I'm pretty sure I'd have a hard time just identifying Arkansas, like, on the map.
Okay, that's bad, and it's just south of Missouri, so
– Yeah, I know, but it's tough. Like, it's just not familiar, the shape of it, the location. Is it close to Texas, or am I way off on it? Like, the other side of
no,
it is
–
No,
it's close to Texas. Yeah, okay. You go through Arkansas and probably a little bit of Oklahoma to get to Texas. If you're staying on the interstate, anyway. So, yep.
Cool.
Very close.
I guess someday I'll have to get there. I've been
on your road trip.
Yes, I will have to make a road trip to Arkansas. I'll come up with the reason. Sometimes. So anyway, it's great to be back. I was out of the country for a couple of weeks, and then just trying to get back acclimated. It took the better part of a week. I was out in China and Hong Kong for about 10 or 11 days, doing some meetings and doing some prep work for next year's HR Tech China event. That was loads of fun, by the way. The trip was kind of crazy and fun and different, but man, the jet lag coming back, Trish. It took me, I want to say, like 4 days to get back on the right time zone schedule.
Oh, wow.
Coming back. I could not get adjusted to it at all. It was brutal.
Wow.
But
was there a city identified for the event yet, or were you just scoping out different locations?
That is a great question. Yeah, we do have a city. So the location of the event next April is in a city called Zhuhai, which is spelled with a Z. It starts with a Z.
Oh.
And it's a coastal city. It is part of mainland China. It's on the coast, and it's pretty near Hong Kong, and it's very near Macau. So which are places people would be more familiar with, certainly, than Zhuhai.
Mm-hmm.
So we flew into Hong Kong, spent a little bit of time there, and actually took a ferry boat to this city called Zhuhai, where the event and the conference center will be is located, and where the event will be. The ferry boat was, I don't know, maybe about an hour, probably something like that. Pretty big ferry boat, and that was kind of a fun, trip across whatever body water that is to take you right to Zhuhai from Hong Kong. And then in Zhuhai itself, which is a pretty big city, you know, the one thing I learned a lot of things about China on this trip, but the other thing I learned is, even small cities in China are really big cities. Like,
really?
Yeah. The folks were telling us, well, Zhuhai is a small city. Some of the folks we were meeting with out there, and some of the folks where we were taking us around. It's a small city. It only has about 3 million people or something like that. You know, that's a small city.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it didn't seem small, even though it is, I guess, by Chinese standards. And so, but anyway, the conference center itself, which is beautiful. I know I posted a few pictures on Twitter and maybe Instagram too, but I should probably post another one or two when we post this show. The conference center itself is brand new. It's beautiful. There's a gorgeous new hotel, Sheraton, being built right next to it. And when you're sort of looking, they gave us a tour of this Sheraton, and it's brand new. It's just set to open, I think, in August or September of this year. It's gonna, is the hotel's grand opening. You look out the windows, you know, if you're on the right side of the hotel, and you see the Macau skyline, you know, the casinos.
Oh, beautiful.
It's all right there. So to get it over to Macau, it can be a short boat ride or a taxi ride even can get one from where we'll be having this conference over to Macau if folks are so inclined. So anyway, we'll be talking about that a lot. I think, you know, certainly towards the end of this year and at the beginning of next year as we get ready for HR Tech China. But it was a great trip, and I want to say thanks to the folks who met out there. We had some great meetings with some of the big Oracle met with us out there, SAP met with us out there, a few other folks who are going to be involved in the HR Tech China show. And it was really a great experience, and I'm looking forward to going back. Trish, you got to get you over there to speak next year. So think about your pitch for the Chinese market. We'll work on that
okay.
in the next 6 months. So anyway, great to be back, though. So thank you for minding the fort, if you will, while I was gone.
No problem.
So great. So hey, here's what I wanted to talk about today, besides China, Trish. I wanted to talk about Uber.
Okay.
Yes, because that's
all. Why do you want to talk about Uber?
I do, because I've been writing about it a lot lately. And I wrote about it on my blog. I wrote about it on Fistful of Talent lately. I'm fascinated by, like, this whole idea of Uber and, more broadly, like, the how it's, like, become such an HR issue, right? That classic, are the Uber drivers and all the people who do the kinds of work associated with these other on-demand companies about their classification. Like, it's such a hardcore HR issue, right? Not that I'm qualified to talk about that, but I know you are. But, like, are these people employees or are they 1099 contractors? And how that matters for not just the companies themselves like Uber and Lyft and some of these other on-demand companies, but what that means more broadly for sort of work, the labor market, and HR in general. I'm completely fascinated by this, and it's one of the few things I've been thinking about in the last couple of weeks. I don't know why it fascinates me so much. It does.
Well, so, I mean, obviously you've been writing about it. What's sort of your stance on whether or not they are employees or not?
Well,
or do you have a stance on which category they fall into then?
Since I'm completely unqualified to take a stand, I will anyway. I will anyway. I've not studied this. Maybe you did. I don't know if this came up. Did this kind of issue come up often when you were running HR in companies, like classification issues? Okay, so you're well versed on this. Yeah. For me, I can't. I don't know. Like, let's just take Uber, right? Which is the example that most of us are familiar with. Right, most of us have taken an Uber or at least familiar with what they're doing. I feel like you can make a strong argument either way. Like, the fact that Uber drivers completely control when they want to work, what location they want to work in, things like that. They, you know, they do provide their own vehicles, right, and things like that. And no one tells them when to work. I mean, that feels to me like independent contractor, right? But then.
That's right.
Right? But then on the other side of it is, like, there are definitely rules about the kinds, the quality, and the types of vehicles that can be used and how new they need to be. The pricing is all completely controlled by Uber. How they get paid is completely – they can't negotiate any different kinds of agreements with the customers, the people that they pick up. They can be fired at any, you know, pretty much at any time due to, you know, the way the performance ratings work. I guess that doesn't really matter, but like I think there's just enough control being exerted from mm-hmm. Uber corporate on what they do and how they do it. Then I could kind of feel like there's an argument for, hey, these guys are really, and women are really employees too. I could kind of see both sides of it. I don't know. I'm torn by it.
Well, I think, you know, obviously we would have to have probably a lot more information about exactly what they control, but you're right. That's really what hinges on whether or not someone's an employee or not. I mean, typically if the company does not have, if they have control over sort of the end result of what the person is doing or making or producing or something like that, but they don't have control over some of the steps, like the means or the methods in between, then that person is an independent contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if the end result is just getting a person from point A to point B, and Uber corporate is not controlling exactly how that occurs, you know, which route the driver takes, for example, or, you know, I think when they control the price, that could be something then, again, you'd have to have more information, but that could be something that could be considered, you know, controlling how the means are method.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have to meet a number of criteria in order to show that Uber corporate has enough control over the course of that particular travel from point A to point B to make that person an employee.
Right. Yeah.
So basically, if Uber's making most of the decisions, you know, then of course it's an employee. But if the person doing the driving has quite a bit of free rein and all they really have to do is get that person to the destination, then it probably leans more on the independent contractor side.
Right. So right. And then we're at the spot where it's kind of a little, right, without having complete information about all the rules and requirements of what it takes to drive at Uber. But it does feel like you can definitely make an argument on both sides of the coin. And I think, and they are, right? They're being, you know, Uber certainly wants to classify all these folks as independent contractors. That's a large part of their business model and the cost structure that supports their business model and the profitability of that model and their crazy valuation. In large part is due to the fact that they are quote unquote employing this army of independent contractors to fulfill the service, and since they've gone about it this way, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and it's becoming almost like the de facto model for many other types of organizations, I think there are some bigger issues too, right? Like, what does it mean for work and the workplace and labor and HR even as well, if more and more organizations and companies move towards these kinds of models for deploying labor, right, or deploying their workforce? I don't know. I think it's really fascinating. Maybe I'm wrong on this, Trish. Like, I think there's some big implications, not just for small, like one individual company like Uber, but just how HR, the practice of HR is done, the relevance of HR, you know. I'll just say it to you this way, Trish. Like, you're running HR in a company like Uber, and 90% of your labor are independent contractors. You're not really getting too involved with them, are you, as an HR leader?
If I were the HR leader, no, I would not want any contact with them whatsoever, quite honestly, but I probably fall in the... And there's different camps of HR as to how much involvement you want to have with contractors. So having started my career with Manpower International, where, you know, there were always discussions around co-employment, you know, because we were placing
sure.
our workers at other job sites. And so that was always a discussion point. So for me, there needs to be a very strong delineation between one and the other. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, using companies like Manpower or Kelly or whoever, you know, to sort of payroll these people is certainly a help to the customer who's buying the services or whatever.
Right.
You know, Uber doesn't have that because it sounds to me like these people truly are independent, which is kind of another wrinkle to it. But no, if I'm in HR, I mean, I've had this with several companies I've worked at. I want nothing to do with those people because we're not providing any sort of benefits to those
right.
employees. We're not having any control over their performance. We're not supervising these employees. We're not, you know, giving them reviews, you know, other than maybe, it's not like a performance review, more just
right.
like, did they do the work that they were contracted to do, that sort of a review. So yeah, I always wanted nothing to do with it. And I know that's something that comes up frequently now is, as many of these HCM providers are starting to try and build the contingent workers and how you monitor and track and pay and whatever, they're trying to build that all into the HR side of the house for HR to manage. I'm still extremely uncomfortable with that. I would not want to do a job where I had to be in any way connected to them. Now, I think you could probably get some HR people on the show who would argue and say, oh, it's probably not that big of a deal. Or maybe they have experience with, you know, if you're only talking about a handful of people, it's not that big of a deal. But for me personally, I don't, you know, I could see the Uber situation, for example, if I'm the head of HR, and 90% are contingent workers, I wouldn't even worry about them. I guess I would just have a very small HR team to manage the 10% of the employees we had. So maybe it cuts down on the number of HR professionals, but to me it wouldn't change my job as an HR professional at all, really.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you on that. Like, and that's kind of the take I had on it, too, when I was thinking about it and I was writing about it this week. Let me do a quick reset. This is HR Happy Hour 218. My name is Steve Bowes. Of course, Trish McFarland is with me. We're talking about Uber and the 1099 economy and the on-demand economy and sort of some of the ways that impacts work in HR, of course. I don't know, again, humoring me a little bit because I find this utterly and interesting and fascinating despite being pretty much unqualified to talk about it. But so I think writ large, though, Trish, as you said, right, in a world where companies have 80% or 90% of employees potentially, and again, not every company can fall into this kind of, and I'm probably oversimplifying the prevalence of this or overestimating the prevalence of this in the economy sort of, in a macro level, because it doesn't work in many, many types of organizations, but for the ones that does, as you said, I think the implications are pretty clear. You probably would have a smaller HR team. There would be elements of HR that you just wouldn't get into, as you said, right? You're not training these folks. You're not doing succession planning for them. You're not even really handling their comp, right? Because like in the Uber example, their compensation is completely determined by the market pricing algorithms that the operations folks are calculating, right? It's got nothing to do with, traditional ways of doing compensation either. So, anyway, I think it's really fascinating stuff, and I think it's still kind of early days to in how or where these trends, if they continue to play out, are going to change work and the way work gets done and how it gets managed. I don't know. I think it's really fascinating. And I'll say one more thing about it, and I guess we can let the Uber conversation go. You know what Uber's real goal is? And I wrote about this a little bit too. It's not even so much. It's not even so much that they don't want employees and they want 1099 contractors, which they do today. In 5 to 10 years, they don't want any contractors. They want this whole Uber fleet to be driverless cars. That's really where they're going.
Really?
Absolutely.
And they've said this publicly? I haven't read that.
Yeah. I mean, not so much in direct terms, like in 5 years, we're going to have no more drivers and everything will be driverless, but there's some comments that I
feel like it's the Jetsons. I'm not buying it.
Well, there's some comments that I referenced on my blog. The CEO of Uber talked about pricing. He was discussing the pricing of Ubers and things like that. And are they more than taxis or less than taxis, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know what the real driver of costs is for Uber? I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he said, here's what the real driver is. It's got nothing to do with the taxi cost or anything like that or demand. He goes, the price of Uber is usually driven by the cost of the other dude in the car. That was his exact quote. The other dude in the car, he's talking about the driver, the driver himself or herself. And if you can get rid of the other dude in the car, then the price really goes down, right? And that's really what the goal is, okay. Right? No driver at all, right? Like a total Total Recall. Remember that movie, Trish? Arnold?
I do. The taxi. I haven't seen it in many years, but yes.
That's it. That's your guy driving that taxi, your Uber or whatever. It's that guy going forward in the future.
Wow.
Well,
hopefully I will no longer be practicing HR by the time the driverless Uber cars come around.
No kidding.
So that I don't have to worry about it. But in the meantime, no, I can see it's a big deal. And maybe it's something where in the future we need to have someone on who actually, an employment lawyer or something who handles helping companies decipher. Because, again, if you look on the IRS guidelines, it seems like it would be pretty cut and dry. An employee is basically anyone that you can control what will be done and how it will be done. But we all know that that's, not quite as easy to define when you're actually talking about the people, because it is a lot about, their span of control and your span of control. And so, there's never a perfect split. Basically. So
right.
I think companies probably do the best they can in determining. And I would venture to say that most companies probably have a few people misclassified. That's pretty fair to say. I've worked in companies too where that's happened. And you sort of self-identify then. And as long as you correct it going forward, then you're good usually. But yeah, that's an ongoing problem for big and small companies. It really doesn't even you know, no matter what size you are.
Yeah, well,
even
that makes
6 to 8.
Yeah, that's completely understandable too, because even like, you know, you're an expert, I'm a novice, but I read a lot. You know, even we're discussing it, we can't really determine exactly, you know, like what the right answer is in this situation. So it seems like it's kind of an easy mistake to make, even companies that are trying
absolutely.
To do the right thing, right? It's not...
Take it further, take it into even just with employees, exempt versus non-exempt. That's another thing that people at companies struggle with year after year. And it's like anything. It's because these are all dictated by law. And, you know, as any good lawyer will tell you, it depends, right? It depends on the myriad of situations. And so while you might have experience, I mean, you're saying I have experience. Well, I have experience in several companies working with contractors and employees and exempt and non-exempt. But while it might guide my opinion, I could go to work tomorrow for another company and really make a big mistake because I, you know, the situation would be different.
Right.
So that's why it gets touchy. And so I do think you just have to sort of work on your best assumptions and use your employment legal team wisely, I suppose, in advising. It's just about minimizing risk because
right.
I don't know if there's a right answer, I guess, is the bottom line.
Yeah, well, and there's definitely risk there. I was just reading about a company in this kind of business model. It was called, I believe, it was called HomeJoy. It was, you know, one of these companies out in the valley that was about it was like the Uber for home cleaning services. Probably is the best way to describe
mm-hmm.
it. And they've just gone under. And one of the reasons that was given in the accounts of how this HomeJoy company went under was they were being sued by the cleaners, you know, and they weren't, you know, to become classified as employees instead of contractors, and they were not going to be able to fight those lawsuits. They didn't have the money to fight them, or if they lost, you know, they were not going to be able to survive anyway. They had other problems as well. It wasn't just that, but it certainly contributed to the demise of the company. That the business model around using contractors to deliver all these services, that might have made sense, but it didn't make sense if the folks were employees. Now, some other companies in this space are going the route of employees, and that's, again, why it's so confusing and difficult, and I think also just fascinating and interesting, because it's one of the most classic kind of HR things that's become just on the front pages of, you know, in lots and lots of companies, and it's become a big issue. So anyway, I'm fascinated by it.
Well, I think, too, we don't have to get into it on this show, but, you know, I think also with benefits and the ACA, I think that that's also changing how companies are viewing whether or not they want to have employees or contractors. So while it might be technically a little bit safer to have everyone as an employee, the expense is going way up. And as that continues to happen, and as laws around the way that companies provide benefits change over the next years, I think that too will also determine whether or not companies want to explore having more contractors, which is what people are predicting, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, in the next, that by 2020, 50% of the workforce is going to be contractors, which, you know, may or may not happen. I guess we'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah, and I guess the adjunct to that is it influences individuals' ability or desirability to go that route, right? Like, how many times in our lives or people's lives that you know or whomever, right, you take a job or you stay at a job or you worry about having a full-time job because of things like benefits and retirement and,
mm-hmm.
you know, all those ancillary sort of that umbrella of ancillary benefits that come from traditional full-time employment, which, you know, the way it's been designed and taxes and other incentives that go to companies, right, have been designed to support that model or to drive people towards that model anyway. And maybe more of those
but
things
I think
will
the,
change.
The bigger problem really isn't, to me, is how is it going to impact the HR leader so much. It's going to be how does it impact the talent acquisition leader? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, as your turnover gets higher, as you have fewer and fewer sort of things to offer to keep people as employees, you're really going to have trouble filling some of those roles, I would imagine, you know, in certain industries, probably more than others. But I think that'll be a huge change too, is the way that you even do your hiring at all. Because, you know, I think it was on your, I have to say this, by the way, I love the new HR Tech Conference blog. I think that's
cool.
Going to be
Thank you for
a really
that.
Awesome place. Like,
Send me a contributed post. We'll get you on there, Trish.
5 years ago, right?
Please.
Okay. So there's a post on there now, and it's talking about one little piece of it was around employees having the right to sort of own their own data, and that you would have your data from every employer you've worked at, and it would sort of follow the employee.
Yeah.
I think that's the future, right? That's what's coming, is if everyone moves to more of a contractor role, you will have to see things like HR tech changing then to change the way data is managed and handled and moved and who owns it and who has rights to it. And we're already seeing that too, even from a learning development perspective with, 10, 15 years ago, the talk was always, even for myself, thinking about where I worked, it was like, well, what are they doing to train me?
Right.
How many trainings are they sending me to? How are they managing my career or helping me manage my career? Now that view is kind of old, sort of like, you know what? We're all on our own. So if you're all on your own to manage your training, and if your company has cut back so much and they're not even providing training anymore and you're doing it sort of on the side, like you've done, I've done, many people we know have done, so you're now managing your own training. And now benefits change in the next few years, and you're now having to worry about, finding your own benefits, whether it's through the government or personal or somewhere else. And you're doing all these things on your own. Why not be a contractor?
Exactly.
What is it that what is it that an organization can even offer me that's going to be that compelling that I want to stay very long?
That's a great.
Maybe that's part of what's driving it. It's really the bigger picture, not just organizations not wanting to have employees.
Completely.
Of the whole thing of. And that's going to totally radically change how HR technology is handled.
Yeah.
And what data is important.
I think those are great, great points, Trish. And I do, and that's exactly why I wanted to talk about this on the show. Because, again, the small issue or the discrete specific issue is, are Uber drivers, contractors or employees, or what should they be? That's the small issue. The bigger issues is much like you described. Like, what do these trends mean? Much on a macroeconomic level, particularly for people, for individuals, the way our expectations of what we demand from work, or what we expect from work, and what we need to be prepared for, how you need to prepare your kids, right? Chances are your kids and mine never like have full-time employment, at least in the traditional sense, or they might have. It seems obvious they're going to have many more stints of shorter-term employment anyway, regardless of how it's classified, but. Preparing, it's a completely different mindset. You and I, Trish, I don't think, at least I'll speak for me, but I'll bet you were in the similar boat. It was go to college, get out, go get a job, right? Like, that's what I thought about, right? And you probably did too, and folks in our generation probably did.
And not only that, my dad told me, he was at his job, probably almost 40 years, and he told me, you're going to get a job and you're going to stay there forever. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And I remember I was at the University of Missouri and I was probably, I guess, junior or senior year toward the end. And I remember a professor sort of announcing to us kind of flippantly that, our generation, Generation X, was going to have on average, they had done a study and it was going to be on average 7 jobs, 7 different employers. And I went home and told my dad, and we were both like, no way. There is no way that's going to happen. That's not going to be possible. And now I haven't had 7, but certainly, you're much more mobile if you choose to be. I think that's the thing, too. It's kind of like we're in a weird spot, and we both have kids you have a teenager, and mine are just about teenagers. I feel like Gen X is going to have a real challenge in preparing our children because so many, probably still a majority of people right now are still employees, and so they're raising their children to sort of be employees. Then there are people like us who have done both. And we might have a little different spin on how we prepare our children, but and then there's the people that have only been contractors. And so I don't know, it'll be interesting to see. I don't even know what is there a title now yet for this generation coming up that are teenagers? There probably is.
I've seen like Gen Z, XYZ, but I've also seen the centennials. I've seen. So kids who were born in the 2000.
In the 2000s?
Yeah.
Okay. So the centennials.
I've seen that.
Whatever they're called. Yeah, like I feel like I'm still trying to wrap my mind around millennials and Gen Y and all this other stuff. I'm not even ready to describe the business implications for centennials. But it's going to be really crazy, right? It's like we don't even know how to prepare these children. So, what your son or my kids see us doing is one thing. It's probably not the way that a majority of the country is still working. And also then globally, you know, different countries are doing different things. So yeah, by the time our kids are actually, you know, 15 years from now, it's going to look so drastically different.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I
need early retirement. That's what I need.
Well,
independent contractor, early retirement.
That's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show about retirement. There's no more retirement, right? I mean, maybe there is. Or it's different. We should do a retirement show someday.
Like, I just don't want to do HR after 15 years. How about that? I'm going to put that out there right now.
This has been really fun. I'm going to say this. I'm going to get a little behind the scenes. For HR Happy Hour listeners. Trish, I'm going to call you out a little bit. You outed me on this topic a little bit. You are not so like, I don't know about this topic. It's turned out to be a fun topic. I'm going to say I was right about this topic.
It has been. I was not really looking forward to Uber. I thought, what in the world are we doing? This is ridiculous.
All right, but you're right, though. We should circle back at some point.
You have to get me fired up.
We'll circle back at some point with, like, an employment lawyer or maybe somebody who's, like, doing HR in one of these sort of on-demand companies. That would actually be a really good conversation. So I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, I agree.
And we'll circle back on this
topic. Make a note.
Yes. Like whoever's...
Have the production people make that happen.
Yeah, I'll get the staff right on it, the extensive HR
staff on
staff.
That.
The staff is these kids we keep talking about. That's the staff. That's the problem. We need, like, a real staff. Hey, let's just before we let it go. It's summertime, Trish. Late July, summer vacation's coming up. I actually, for all the traveling I've done, I actually haven't gone on vacation yet. I think I'm gonna go to California soon with my son. So I don't know. L.A. He wants to go to L.A. I'm not an L.A. guy. I gotta figure out what to do there. So, that's sort of what I'm trying to do this summer is maybe get to L.A. But I will say this before, and then I'm going to ask you about your sort of favorite summer vacation places. Before I forget, I was in your town, even though you weren't there, last weekend.
That's right.
At my first
did you enjoy it?
I did. At my first St. Louis Cardinals game as a guest of our great friends at Equifax Workforce Solutions, who invited myself and Patrick out to the baseball game this past weekend. Loads of fun. Great game. Cardinals won, as a matter of fact, 1-0.
Of course, because we're awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you what. The best thing about but the stadium was beautiful, great setting, big St. Louis arch in the background. It was 1-0. The game itself, it was the fastest major league game I think I've ever attended in terms of how long it took to complete. It was like 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Really?
The entire game was over because there was very little hitting.
Oh, that is fast.
Yeah, it was a pitcher's battle and very little hitting in the game, but still a great game, great ending. St. Louis won right at the end, so it was really fighting. So just huge Dan Adams, president of Equifax Workforce Solutions, throughout the ceremonial first pitch, which was loads of fun. I know I posted some pics on Instagram about it. So I know people who listen to the show, Trish, are with bated breath going to go check my Instagram right now. So I'm sure that's...
I think they should, because you were actually wearing Cardinals gear, Cardinal Nation. You were supporting, representing.
I was.
Good for you. Proud of you.
I was.
So. I told you. I said unless they're playing your home team, the rule is you have to come to the city and be all in because it's a more fun experience. For any city.
I had the gear on. I dropped a little coin in the St. Louis Cardinals gift shop as well. I bought some T-shirts and a new hat. So
perfect.
Yeah, I was
perfect.
Part of the experience. I had a Budweiser before the game and all of this. So I completely dialed in. Okay. So loads of fun. So thanks again to my friends at Equifax. I'm going to try to get to a couple more ball games with my son this summer. That's it. Trish, summer plans for you? What's your favorite summer vacation place? What's the place you would go to if you could just pick one?
I'm so boring. It's Epcot.
I know,
right? Like, I know everybody's like, oh, it's an amusement park. No, I love Disney.
I love Epcot,
I still
too.
Love Disney.
No. So that's...
Actually, Florida, because I love being able to go to Orlando for a couple days, and then, you know, it doesn't even matter which direction you go, east or west, you're going to hit a beach in within an hour and a half, either way. And so I love a few days at the beach. So I'm still a big Florida vacation fan. If I have somewhere to choose to go... I was even asked to go next week, and I don't think I can pull it off because for us, school starts, I think, on August 14th.
Wow.
And kids sports start up this Saturday, so football is getting ready to start in the St. Louis area. So for me, I think summer is truly, unfortunately, just about over.
Wow,
we've done little vacations. We go to the lake all the time, and so just spent a long weekend at Run Lake, which is why I was not at the Equifax night at the ballpark.
Right.
And then getting to come to Arkansas and work remote. I think for me, a lot of it's working remote, and you know, I do travel quite a bit for work, and so I always try and throw in an extra day or two here and there. I have a big trip coming up in September to London, most of which will be work. However, I'm going to have at least probably a day or two to do some fun things and go to my favorite stores and restaurants and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to that, I guess.
Good times. I've got just one more work trip this summer. I'm going out to the SAP event in August, which should
very
be
good. I might as well. I'm not sure. I'm deciding. That could be a fun one.
Yeah, well, Vegas. I mean, I'll take it, even in August. I'm a Vegas guy all the way. So loads of stuff going on, though. So, yeah, we'll, it's great to be back, though. I feel like I haven't done a show in, like, 7 years. So it's good to be back just doing the show. Thanks for carving out a little bit of time today, Trish, from the remote office in Arkansas.
Right,
so,
my remote.
It's always been fun to talk. Again, thanks to our friends at Equifax Workforce Solutions for just all their support and just for the great time this past weekend. Just loads and loads of fun.
Right. And just to mention, so they are an official sponsor of the show now, which we're very grateful for. So for anyone who hasn't either worked with Equifax Workforce Solutions or really sort of dove into what they offer, definitely check out their website at equifax.com, and you can go under their business section and get all the information on what Workforce Solution can do to help you. I know that I have been a customer at many companies that I've worked with over the years of Equifax, and so everything from ACA compliance to your I-9 employment verification solutions, and my favorite, and I will tell you, I've used both of those services, but the one thing that was sort of coming into being a couple of years ago as I was kind of getting out of being a practitioner is their compliance center. And
yes.
I can tell you, if you're someone who is an HR leader or talent acquisition leader or payroll leader, and you are having employees in multiple states, working and traveling in multiple states, and having to try and keep up with all of those changes that are coming at the end of the year, I would definitely check out their compliance center. It still remains like my favorite thing to hear about anytime I talk to Equifax,
yeah.
Truly. Just the amount of, when I think back to the amount of time I spent on making sure my companies were compliant when it came to payroll and different things like that.
Sure.
Such a great service. So I'm a big fan of the Compliance Center, especially. And anyway, but obviously they can help you with anything related to data analytics and measurement and helping impact the bottom line. So
absolutely. We'll get those relevant links. We'll get those links up when we post the show in the next day or so.
Perfect.
And awesome. So thanks to those guys. Trish, thanks to you. Let's have a great rest of the summer, whatever's left of it. We'll be back soon on the HR Happy Hour show. And I guess that's it for today from the HR Happy Hour show. Trish, thanks. You have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.